Please do turn with me this morning to Genesis and chapter 2. We're going to continue our studies in these foundational truths in the very beginning chapters of the Bible. Brick by brick, the foundations of God are being laid in the very early chapters. It's been said that Genesis is a book of firsts. It's a book of facts. It's a book of faith. We see the faith of God's people. It's a book of forecasts, prophecies, and solemnly, it's a book of funerals. It's called the seed tray, the seedling nursery, where every foundational truth is planted and it grows. There is an explanation of everything important, except, of course, for God, because He needs no explanation and He has no beginning. So we come to Genesis chapter 2. I'd like to read these first three verses. Really, this few verses belongs at the end of chapter 1. The chapter heading probably would have been better at the beginning of verse 4, where we have one of these 11 section headings that we have through the book of Genesis. But it doesn't matter. Let's read verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Some people are often confused. Is chapter 2 a different account of the creation narrative? Well, it is, but it doesn't contradict. It goes into much more detail. It gives us the way that Adam and Eve were made, and it shows us that perfect initial relationship that we had in Adam with the Lord before we come to chapter 3. And we see the relationship is broken. It's severed for all of time until the new creation within the heart, the recreation. We shall touch on that later. I want you to notice in these first two verses where it speaks of the seventh day, God's name is mentioned no less than 10 times in 2 verses. On the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. Do you think a point's being made? Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. It's very deliberate. 10 times. This is God doing something very deliberate. So that's our first heading this morning. The deliberate rest of God. It's perplexing. When you think about it, the God who is full of boundless energy, the God who is unconstrained, He doesn't get tired, He doesn't need rest, and yet, 3 times in these 2 verses, it tells us, on the seventh day, God rested. The one that created all, the one that is full of energy, the one that placed enough energy in one atom to obliterate an island. When the atom is burst, and through some nuclear fusion, if that's the right term, an island can be exploded. That's how much energy is in one atom. Think of God. The God that made all the atoms out of nothing. The one that can create more universes than we can count. That God rested. There's a conundrum there. Why did he do it? Well, let me give you three reasons. He rested because, very obviously, his work was complete and finished. He didn't do any more creating. Everything that was necessary for life, he made man, he made Eve, everything within the universe, as we know it, has been made. He won't do any more creating. It's complete. Evolution can't say that. Evolution says there's a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. Change and change and change. But God says his work is finished. Verse 1, the heavens and the earth and all the host of them. That's shorthand for everything that he has made in the first 6 days is finished. His first creation. He had a plan. He accomplishes the plan perfectly. Nothing left out. There's something else here. The God who has boundless energy, he says, as it were, it is finished. You notice the resemblance to when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He went there with a plan, a perfect plan. This plan was made before the foundation of the world. So was creation. This plan was made between the three members of the Godhead. So was creation. The first creation was perfect. The second, the recreation, was perfect. Christ's life and his death was perfect. And so when he breathed his last breath, as our hymn that we've just sung spoke about, he could say, "It is finished. Hear the dying Saviour cry. It is finished. Saints, the dying words record. It is finished. Saints, from hence your comfort draw. We can draw near because the Lord has died and accomplished his work." And you know, for the same reason, on the seventh day, we draw near. What do? On this day, we draw near. We come into God's presence. So that's the first reason. The Lord has completed perfectly and finished his work, and he marks it very clearly. It is finished. Secondly, the Lord is content. He's completed his work and he's very satisfied with all that he's made. He looks around it. He said in chapter 1, he beheld, he saw, and everything was very good. It was perfect. It was complete. Nothing was missing. Man can speak to God freely. But soon the fall will come. God is going to prepare for the consequences of the fall. God, the great creator, has completed his work. He's content with his work. But there's a third reason, which is to prepare for the fall. Remember, God is outside of time. And so, on this day, he rests from all his work. He didn't need to rest. Not for one second does God need to rest. So why does he do it? Because he's instituting a pattern. A pattern that will be for all time. Just as he said, it is finished. Christ's death is for all time, going back to the time of Adam, going forward to the time when the last soul will be gathered in. So this day is for all time. So the Lord says that he will prepare a day. Let's look at it carefully. He rested on the seventh day. On the seventh day, God ended his work. On the seventh day, God blessed it three times. It doesn't come out, but in the Hebrew, it's very beautiful. Three times in two verses. He says, the seventh day, for emphasis. But there's something remarkable in the Hebrew. Each sentence has seven words. Three sentences. 21 words making the same beautiful, purposeful, intentional point. On the seventh day, God rested. It's as though God is putting this on high for all to see. This pattern, this routine, not a mundane routine, is being established for all of life. Do you know God would know our feeble frame? He would know that we're weak. He would be knowing that we are prone to wander and to stray. 6 days would be long enough to work. 6 days would be long enough without devoting one whole day, principally, to worship, to come into God's presence, with God's people, to draw near before God. So even in creation, God is saying, you will need to come aside and rest a little. And the Lord Jesus did that. He came aside and he rested a little. And the Lord God Jehovah, Elohim, he comes aside and he rests, not because he needed to, but for us. So that's our first heading this morning. The deliberate, the beautiful, the ordered, the symmetrical seven words, three times, God rested on the seventh day. But secondly, we can see that there is a weekly holiday, a holy day, as it was once called. It's now called nothing, because it's not barely respected almost anywhere. But you know, it's inexplicable. How do you explain that in every country in the world, there is a 7 day week? Do you know, in the Hebrew, the word for week means divided into seven. And I think it's true that in almost every week, every country in the world, the week is defined as 7 days. Do you know, the Bible has a monopoly on some things because God created them. Marriage, the working week, the seventh day, these are all created by God and therefore us. Because God knew us. He enshrines these institutions. There have been many foolish attempts to throw out a 7-day working week and a 7th day of rest, but they've failed. Very quickly people have come back to this pattern because God knew that it's for our good. And he knows what we need. What did God do on the 7th day? Did he do nothing? No. On that 7th day, he does 3 things. He nourishes us. He provides for us. And he sustains us. And he goes on doing that week in, week out. Every believer can testify to this morning. On the Lord's Day, we come together. We try not to do any of those things that we don't need to do. They can be for another day. And on this day, as families, in our marriages, we know God bringing us back, nourishing the family, nourishing the marriage, nourishing the spiritual life. One day in 7, God putting us back on track, caring for our souls, providing for us, sustaining for us in a special way, and nourishing our souls. He's creating a binding pattern, a routine, a cadence, if you will, for us to follow through life. Don't forget, my friends, to break God's day is sin. We read the book of Exodus chapter 20. Now many people think today there's only 9 commandments. They have arbitrarily taken out one that doesn't suit them. I don't know why they've taken out that one, because if you start with 1, you may as well take out, thou shalt not kill. And then carry on, until there's very little left. I don't know how you can do that. God said, there will be a rest for us. Don't forget. Don't forget the Lord's Day. Yes, with the coming of the Lord, the day has changed. From the Sabbath day to the Lord's Day. And that's significant. We won't prove it this morning. We've covered that before. But now we call it the Lord's Day. And it moved from Saturday to Sunday. So that we could remember that Christ triumphed. And that this is now the Lord's Day for us to remember. A 3rd heading. This day, and people often forget this, is a foretaste for heaven. Here's a question this morning. Are you going to heaven? Do you have peace and assurance that one day you will be with God? You will see your personal Savior? Do you know one of the ways that we can test if a person has assurance, if they're walking with God, is this? Do you want to keep God's day? Do you remember it? Do you want to walk with God? Do you want to keep this day for Him? That doesn't mean that you will earn heaven, of course not. But it's one of the tests. It's one of the ways that we see where a person's heart is. 7 signifies in God's word completeness. Those that want to keep life whole and complete for God will want to be in communion with Him, especially on this His day. Well, we think as well of how this day is special. It's a day which has been kept by believers all the way down through time. Let's look at some of the ways that God has made it special. He says here in verse 3, God blessed that day. He didn't bless Mondays specifically. He blessed every day. But he blesses the seventh day. Do you know, no word is wasted. If God says there's a special blessing when believers meet together, there's a special blessing on the Lord's Day, it means something. This, above all days, is a special day. Secondly, it's a different day. It's a day that God has set apart. God blesses the church. That's what it means. People who are set apart, ecclesia. And on this day, we are to separate it. Nowadays, you would think in many churches, with many Christians' lives, there is nothing different. They do the same things. Go to the same shops. Go to the same restaurant, cinema. There's nothing different. We're not legalists. God has said, he has blessed this day. And we are to sanctify it, to keep it holy, set apart for him on his special day. It's not a day of do's and don'ts. Let's get out of that Pharisaical mindset. It's a positive day. It's a day where we want to be with God and to be with his people. It's a day where we don't want the day to be like any other. So, it's a different day. It has a special emphasis given to it. Seven words, three times in these two verses. It's also a day of negative and positive. It's balanced. The Lord says in Exodus chapter 20, there are things that we will not do. Things your cattle will not do. Did you notice that? The cattle won't do any plowing. Because if the cattle plow, that means the people have to work. And in your house, we're not to have servants in those days who have to work. We try to leave aside everything that doesn't need to be done. Yes, there's dishes to be washed. There's meals to prepare. We can do it today very efficiently. Most of the time, for some of us, we just have a button to press. But all that we can, we do to keep the work, the labor, the distractions to another day. But it's also a positive day. It's what we can do. We can be together. We can be with the Lord's people. We can read, we can pray, we can worship. We can think of God. We can make this day about Christ. What he has done for me. And so we remember on this day, it's also an appointed day. He says here, in it, in this day, it has been appointed. Did you notice in Exodus chapter 20? Turn back to it if you've got your Bibles, you don't need to. Why does God devote and ask Moses to spend so many verses on just one of the commandments? Look at the contrast. Thou shalt not steal. Four words. Thou shalt not kill. Four words. But the seventh day, the Lord's day for us. Verse 9, verse 8, verse 10, verse 11. Devoted to one of the commandments. Do you think God knew that we would be minded to forget it, to ignore it, to pretend it was just for then? Why does he ring-fence it with the word, remember? Remember. Don't forget. Don't squeeze it out. Don't redefine it. Don't ignore it. Don't do what's convenient. Remember it. Sanctify it. Hedge it. Protect it. Guard it. Because many people will say, that was for them. Do you know the moral law has not gone? Yes, the ceremonial law. The civil law that caused the Israelites to dance in the streets, to keep particular days, the ceremonial washings that took place on this day, they've gone. But not the moral law. Christ himself said that this day was to be kept. The believers in the early church met together on the Lord's Day. Nowhere does Christ say the Ten Commandments are now nine. Do you not think he would have said so? If a whole chapter is devoted to the Ten Commandments, and then he says, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. If it was 10 to 9, not the time, but the commandments, wouldn't he have said? Of course not. The moral law shows us our need of a Savior. As a teenager, I've said this before. When I got to the age of 15, 16, I was playing cricket. My parents didn't know it. And it happened quite often. Chosen for a particular team. I loved it. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to worship. And one day I heard a message preached. And that message said the Word of God is one message. There's one way of salvation from cover to cover. God's law shows us if we need a Savior. If we've broken God's laws, we need salvation. And I knew I'd broken every one of them. And it was the fourth commandment that showed me I did not want to keep God's laws. It was the same for John Bunyan. On that day, the Lord's Day, which was kept by much of society in those days, here in Bedford, or perhaps it was in Elstow, and on that day he didn't want to keep God's law. And it hurt him. It stirred his conscience. Because he had no desire to keep it. He knew he was not a true believer. He was a nominal Christian. We have many of those today. Christian by name. But no desire. No new nature. No wanting to keep God's laws. No heart given by God which enables us to try to keep God's laws. So this is the Lord's Day. Now the question that's often asked, I want to give you some help. How should I keep God's holy day? I'm not going to give you a list of do's and don'ts. The Bible is not like that. The Bible is a set of principles, and we have to apply them. But it gives us very clear principles. And I've got 7 for you this morning as we close. They're very simple. And I promise you this. If you bring every activity, every pass the time, every hobby, every occupation, bring it to these tests, these principles, and see if it passes each one of them, I believe you will know the will of God and the mind of God as to how we should spend this day. Well, the first one, very obviously, remember it. Bring the activity to this day. Remember. That's what God says. Remember it. We're apt to forget it, to ignore it, to redefine it. Don't do that. Remember it as God defined it. And then see if you still want to go ahead with that particular thing. Secondly, God says, sanctify it. Set it apart. Am I on the Lord's day? Setting apart this day, if I do that activity, if I spend that hour doing something that I do every other day of the week. Thirdly, this is quite searching. Delight in it. Delight in it. Do I, in doing that activity, delight in the Lord's day? Do I delight in it? Do I keep God's promises in it? Do I remember that on that day, God gives mercy? God gives mercy to each one of us. It's not a bind. It's not a shackle. We're being released from such things. Remember it. Sanctify it. Delight in that day. And ask the question as well. Does the Lord delight in what I'm proposing to do on my holy day? Does he take delight? I'm not going to give examples. You can ask the questions yourselves. Remember it. Sanctify it. Delight in it. Does it give me joy and freedom and peace in my walk with the Lord, or do I feel a measure of guilt? Do I feel that I'm in danger of crossing the line, stepping over what God has said? Fourthly, remember on this day that the Sabbath is to be our servant, not our master. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What does that mean? God, before the fall, three times says, on the seventh day, I'm preparing one day in seven to help you in times to come. You will need it. You're to sanctify it, delight in it, remember it, because you will need it. Keep that day for yourself, because you will need it, but for yourself in worshipping and living for me. Fifthly, and I think this is very searching, this has exercised my mind this week. Do you know Christ is our Sabbath? Think about it. Christ is our rest. He's the one that we will be with for all eternity. He's the one that we should want to be with in this life. He's the one that we worship, and we should want to worship as much and as often on the Lord's day as we can. Is Christ your Sabbath? Is he your rest? Do you know, if he's not your Sabbath, perhaps you will not be with him when the eternal Sabbath comes, heaven. That's the test. Do you want him to be your rest? Or do you take your rest in other things? I'm not talking about physical activity. I'm speaking about your soul, your inner life. Where do you seek your rest on the Lord's day? Is Christ your rest? Is he your Sabbath? Because he will be for all eternity when you will see him as he really is. Christ rested at the end of the first creation. Christ rested and said it is finished at the end of the recreation. And we will rest with him in eternity. Do you look forward to that day when heaven comes? Do you look forward to the Lord's day every week? That's a test. Sixthly, pursue the good of God on the Lord's day and pursue the good of others on the Lord's day. Put yourself to one side. You've got 6 days for that. On this day, you should be thinking of God and others. That's very searching. Is it for me, chiefly? Or is it for God and for others on that day? Finally, be with other believers as much as you can on the Lord's day. That's what will happen in our eternal rest. And this foretaste of heaven should be mostly about being with the Lord's people, worshipping, praising, fellowshipping, eating together, speaking together, praying together on this, the Lord's day. You might ask me, can I go here? Can I do this? You ask those questions yourself with this list before you. Remember it. Sanctify it. Delight in it. Have the Sabbath as your servant. Remember, Christ is our Sabbath. Pursue the good of God and of others, and be with believers as much as you can on this, the Lord's day. A Sabbath or a Lord's day well spent brings a week of content, a day that stirs our consciences. It tests where we really are. Are we in the faith? Is Christ in us? Is he our focus? Is he our Sabbath? A day when marriages and families are reset, and where individually our lives are brought back to how they should be, worshipping, living in communion with God. May the Lord help us to keep this day as it was intended, as a great blessing and as a special day.